and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today.
Later.
94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. And, of course, everyone watching on YouTube who we welcome, especially those of you active in the comments.
Before we get going on the second hour of the show, Hunter, I just want to say something, man. I think what you and Jesse and Dennis, I complimented Jesse, which was the mistake. I should have sent it to you. That Verona game against, was it Heartland Arrowhead?
Arrowhead, yep.
We had hockey kids watching it on our YouTube channel. It's so well done. Our prep stuff that we do is the best. I'm not even going to say, I just think what you guys have done has been fantastic. And for people, and I know there's a game, Wanakee. Right?
Wanakee hosts DC Everest on Friday night.
It is well done, and I know Riley had a fill-in for you, or yep. I don't know how that all shook out, but I'm just telling you, it is some of the best stuff that we do here. So kudos to you guys.
That's very nice of you, Tausch.
That's true. It was great. And I'm telling you, there's kids who are like, oh, it's on YouTube. And I said, well, it's on ESPN Madison's YouTube. Make sure. Yeah. But it just was really well done.
I take full credit. Thank you.
I'm shocked that you do.
844-770-3776. We're going to hold off on the college football conversation because we do see some comments rolling in on our Jordan Love inaccuracy discussion
I'm going to be honest. Until Phil brought that up, I have not. To me, this season's been about decision-making. It has not been about inaccuracy. Has he put every ball right where it's supposed to be? No. But I don't feel like there's a ton of balls sailing on him or he's way off. His big mistakes have been decision-based. It hasn't been. Like the one dude, I don't remember, I think it maybe was the Texans game, where it was an out route. The guy just jumped it, made a great play. Hey, whoop, no big deal. We can live with that. But the throw last week, that was a bad decision. It wasn't, he sailed the ball, but it was a bad decision. The guy was covered. Screen passes that are covered, fire the ball at his feet, move on to live another. And then we saw it three series later when Brady, and this is why I really appreciate his, just second and one, man. You don't need to be a hero. Put away your cape.
Here it is.
Take a beat and grab a dinner.
Before we get to some of the comments and the texts that are rolling in here, when you're talking about Jordan Love and the accuracy and the inaccuracy here, it's just so fascinating to me. What's the difference to you as a former player? What's the difference between accuracy and decision making? Like physical skill set? Is that what it comes down to?
Where you put the ball and understanding where it needs to be. So they go hand in hand.
So how do I, as a fan watching on television or in the stands occasionally, how do I know the difference between a receiver running a poor route and the throw being where it's supposed to be?
Great question.
And I don't expect, just a bad throw.
I don't expect you to do that, but you know. And the great quarterbacks, they know where they need to throw the football because they know the coverage. That's why it's so important defensively to hide stuff, because it used to be you get your guys killed. Now you can't headhunt and do the stuff that we did back in the old days. But you have to know, hey, they're playing zone, and that safety's coming. So that's why I manipulate a little bit. And you have to throw the ball in the right spots. That's why I can't remember the Saints' name. Olave. His brother is down there. Derek Carr's getting my guy killed. And Michael Thomas is saying that's what he does. And I know that's your guy. But that's understanding coverages and then – this league, everything happens so fast. Everything is quick. You can't afford to miss by a yard. You can miss by 3-4 inches. You can't. You're putting your players in harm's way. You don't let them run after catch. So accuracy isn't just about, oh, I put it on him. You got to put it in the right spot. And when you do that, that whole thing, well, he threw a 3-yard pass and he got this. Well, a lot of times, slant, if you're behind him, and we saw that with a drop last week, you threw it behind him in a wet day. Should the guy have caught the ball? Yes. But if you put it here, you're going to catch it. That's the inaccuracy stuff that I think Phil is probably talking about.
But you're not saying. You're saying Jordan Love's decision, like don't throw the pass into the double coverage is what you're saying. Not when he's throwing it.
He's falling on the ground. Don't whip the ball up in the air. Whip it out of bounds.
Right.
When the guy's covered on a screen pass, fire at his feet. Don't try to be a hero.
All right.
A little hero ball going on.
So some of the texts and the comments rolling in. Let's start with this one from Chad in Newburg on the text line at 844-770-3776. Chad agrees with Phil and Cederberg. So the Bergs are in agreement here. He is an inaccurate passer, says Chad. You guys blame the receiving corps for all the drops, but if you go and look at all the passes he throws, they're behind, low, or too high. You were just referring to a couple of those.
He's definitely... Oh,
watch out for that microphone.
He's chipped it too.
Yeah, watch out for those things.
He definitely has not been as accurate. He's been more... He's not at to the same point where he was at 50 last season in the beginning, but he is not where he was. He's just not as sharp. And I do put the fact that he's missed a bunch of time as part of that process.
Another text here from Dan in Chilton. You're missing the fact that his leg injuries have affected his inaccuracy.
I literally just said that, if, Dan.
Well, he texted this a couple minutes ago. Well, he's probably listening on a stream.
But I literally
somewhere.
Just said it. It does go hand in hand. And to Dan's point, mm-hmm. there is no doubt that not practicing and then having to favor some stuff and you're not able to feel as comfortable getting out of the pocket. Maybe you're throwing the ball a beat earlier than you want because you don't want people at your feet. There's all kinds of things. But, man, I really think it's the comfortability in the pocket, and injuries play a part in that.
Over on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel, we see some of the comments here. Here's one from Grant. Love is not nearly as reckless as Favre was in 92 to 94 is all that needs to be said.
Agree.
So if, and I did pull up Brett Favre's stats from his career season by season. If you want to do blind resume.
Different game.
Was it, though?
Yes.
1993.
Yes.
Obviously, it is. In 1993, just let me make this point. It's a great point. You're going to enjoy this.
All right. I love a good point.
In 1993, which was Brett Favre's his first full season as the Packers starter. He started 13 games the year before when he came in.
Let's get to the point.
61% completion percentage.
61?
Yep.
Oh, it sounds similar.
19 touchdown passes.
Okay,
different game.
Definitely.
How many interceptions do you think Favre threw that year?
17.
It was his career high.
26.
24. 19 touchdowns, 24 interceptions.
2005, he had to have thrown 20 plus.
Oh, I did miss that. Yeah, so it was bolded. I thought that meant it was his career high on Pro Football. No, 2005, he threw 29.
So isn't that higher than 24?
It is. I was wrong.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. I was going to say that. I'm telling you that
it's
year.
I don't know why it's bold on Pro. Maybe
it was
it's a league
an interception palooza. And was it a shock that we went 4-12 with an interception palooza? It was not. Best 4-12 team ever, though.
Sorry about that. So bold.
Yeah. Like if we put a 4-12, everybody's 4-12 seasons, I'd put our team right there. We peaked late.
So Favre led the
league.
That was
a brutal season.
Favre led the league three times in interceptions, in 1993 with 24, in 2005 with 29, which was his career high, and also in 2008 with 22 interceptions thrown as a member of the New York Jets.
Yeah, yeah, and forcing the ball. Interceptions are okay in small doses and there's going to be certain spots. My point has been, I think, understanding where you need it. I'm not even that irritated about the fact that it was a bad decision in that Lions game. Try to push. I get that. The Texans game, that was more understanding the flow of the game. That comes from coaches as well, and that comes from what plays you call. But from an accuracy standpoint, I guess the real question is he more what we saw the first 6-8 weeks last year? Or is he more what we saw the last 10 or 11? Because this year it's been more of the first. But it's also so much better on the other end of it. So I don't know what the correct answer is.
Jay in Gulf Shores goes next level with our stats.
Is it Gulf or Gulch?
No, Thunder Gulch was
Thunder
your horse
Gulch.
From the 90s. Okay. Jay is in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Love completing 61% with his team having 19 drops. If they had zero drops, now, Jay, the one thing is...
I like that he's doing math.
We'll have to do this for the rest of the league, too. But if they had zero drops, if every receiver caught every pass without dropping
it this year... Let's go 50% of the drops, but okay.
All right. Jay provides a text with zero drops.
Oh, he gave you the answer, too. Okay.
He'd be at 69% completion.
That's where he should be. That's what he's been doing. So that's why I'm not in panic city mode. I do think the decision making, and that's partially why I think he is an accurate quarterback. And I know Chad brought up that while he's throwing the ball, some of those drops are, the drops aren't always on the wideouts. But I think they're very, the analytics folks are very strict about, well, the ball hit him here, it was this and this. So he is not an inaccurate quarterback. Is he the most accurate? Obviously he's not.
844-770-3776. Continue to share your commentary on Jordan Love, the inaccurate quarterback, some claim, on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line, as well as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, 844-770-3776. Obviously, Jordan Love needs to fix his interceptions coming out of the bye next week. Rob Domofsky over at ESPNWisconsin.com outlines the four things the Packers need to do to fix another second half run. No, I read that headline wrong.
Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over winter, like Jesse's tease. Potholes and crack curbs, drainage issues. If things are bad now, like that tease, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no obligation quote. Get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work that's needed by spotting fatigue cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, or more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com.
Four things Packers need to fix to make another second half run to the playoffs.
Wow.
Rob needs someone helping him with his headlines, I think, a little bit. And we're going to review that article because it is actually interesting, the content of it. And I want to see how Tausch's list compares to Domofsky's list. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
And Tausch on Wilde and Tausch. Jason's off for the rest of the week. Rob Domofsky's still grinding, though, over at ESPNWisconsin.com. The four things the Packers need to fix to make a run to the playoffs. I figured it out. I took the whole commercial break working on how to present
that. Yeah,
that
was hard to listen to. I'm not going to lie to you. Then you slowed it way down.
You really helped me a lot there.
Well,
so
I didn't have anything. I don't have the copy in front of me. I'm not sure
when
what
you got
want.
The backup quarterback in, you know, you just let him do his own thing and don't do anything to help cover up the hole in the offense, right?
Well, we're 3-0 when he's played.
So, Tausch, what's the number one thing on old T's list that the Packers need to fix in the second half of the season to make a big playoff run?
Well, the first thing has to be the sloppy play, the penalties, and that's the stuff that's correctable. This isn't a case where we're seeing a bunch of, as Mike McCarthy used to say, combative penalties. It's not, there have been a few, you know, I think what I would call selfish, where you're chirping guys and you're doing stuff that it's just, it's about you, not the team. But there's just been way too many drive stoppers, whether it's been holds, but really the false starts and some of the alignment things, way too much. And it's still going on. I can understand having that early in the season, but the sloppy play has not curbed. If anything, I think it's gotten worse. So that, to me, coming out of the bye, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. Like, if you're not going to do that, that's how you stop drives. I'd be fascinated to see how many drives ended up with no points when there wasn't a penalty.
So
565 analytics.
Yeah, have your analytics firm get on
now,
that.
You know what, fellas? You guys deserve a blow, too. We're going to give you guys a beat. Take a beat. Well, I don't need you guys doing that. You got a fresh weekend.
You're giving your analytics firm the weekend off?
They've been fantastic.
A four-day weekend.
Even though they've crowned you already as the Steinhoffels champion.
Wow.
Even though you're not here on Fridays half the time.
And yet I'm still winning. Wow.
That's so crazy.
It's like Jordan Love's still leading the league in interceptions.
Yeah, pretty
two
good.
And a half games
but that is, I think, the biggest thing. And, you know, I'm sure Rob is going to go into interceptions. That would be second on my list, the decision-making of their quarterback and coach. So you factor in both of those things. That would be the top two on my list.
So you mentioned penalties first. Penalties is one of the four categories. Rob goes into depth on in this article of things the Packers need to fix to make a playoff run in the second half of the season. Penalties, as Rob says here, wasn't a problem during LaFleur's first four seasons. They were never among the most penalized teams in the league. In 2021, they were actually the least penalized team in the NFL. After tying for the sixth most in the league last season, they're once again sixth with 66 penalties called against the Green Bay Packers in the first half of the season. What do you make of that, and how do you fit? Like, this is the thing that, you know, I never know how to present the argument for this. And when we hear fans on Green Bay game night and on this show on Mondays, when everyone's calling in and saying, hey, clean up the penalties. Like, okay, don't commit pass interference. Don't hold somebody. Yeah, like, I'm sure as an offensive lineman, it's never your intent to go out and be like, I'm going to commit a penalty on this play.
Correct.
So how do you coach that up? How do you fix that so you're not in a situation where you do have to, like, have this conversation?
Well, part of it's practicing and demanding your tempo and demanding things be cleaned up in practice. There's going to be holds. There's going to be pass interferences. We all understand that. And I don't think those are the penalties that are troublesome. It's the lining up. The lining up offsides or jumping or, you know, false starts, illegal shifts. Those are the things that's practice. It's not for me to say. When you're on the road, I can understand. Home games, that's focus. That's focus when you're talking about false starts and things like that. So I don't want to be the, and Luke Fickell over at Wisconsin, I don't want to be the least penalized team. That means you're not pushing it enough. But I don't want to be the most. And Mike McCarthy would say, I can live with combative penalties. I can live with you getting physical, and if they call a hold late, obviously there's a technique where you run your feet and you don't get out of position, and if your feet don't get beat, that stuff is all right. But it's just being smart and understanding what the referees are calling. If you're getting a crew like cleats where every freaking play is a penalty, dial it in. But the big thing is alignment and pre-snap. Gotta clean it up. Way too much of that.
Yeah, Rob points out here, they have 19 offensive pre-snap penalties.
That is just absurdly high.
That's the sixth most in the league. So there's actually a bunch of other teams that are even worse than that still.
Yeah, but I don't know if those teams have championship aspirations.
Correct. The Packers do have the most defensive pre-snap penalties in the league at this point with nine.
Every coach will tell you, we can live with penalties. We cannot pre-snap penalties, and this is always a line. I've heard Belichick say this. I can get somebody down at Foxborough High to line up right. I can get somebody to do this. Now, that's speaking a little goofily, but the point is, it doesn't take a ton of talent just to line up and not have that. Now, I had false starts. Every player that I know has had a few, but at some point, clean it up, and if you keep giving 5 and 10 yards, that's what defenses are banking on in the league now, that at some point you're going to make a mistake. And when you can't overcome it. And that's when you start pressing the issue a little bit, when you don't get into regular down and distance. And that, unfortunately, has been happening too much to this offense this year.
Interceptions and drop passes are both on Rob's list here as well.
I think that's a good point. Yep.
I think we've covered that a lot throughout the course of our show thus far. If I told you this, here's a little trivia question for you, Tyler.
Missed field goals?
This is still in the interception category.
Okay.
So Jordan Love has 10 interceptions, tied for the most in the NFL this season. Who is he tied with?
Probably Mahomes.
It is not Mahomes. We just did the blind resume. He has nine.
Hunter's saying 11, then it was 8, and then it was 10.
Don't blame Hunter.
I said 11 and then fixed it to 10.
But
don't start
fairness,
putting all that out.
You had Favre leading his worst career year, and then I'm thinking, well, no, I know in 05 he threw a bunch of picks now. So don't question that. I can't question what it was. I thought it was Mahomes.
It's not Mahomes.
10 more picks.
10 picks, not 10
this
more
This quarterback
picks.
Does also lead the league in passing yards.
Is
really?
That right.
Yeah.
Joey B.
No.
Purdy.
Why don't I just tell you?
You got the right division.
Yeah, you're on the right coast.
Geno
Smith.
There it is.
Yeah. 10 interceptions
and
in
no
nine
offense,
games for
no
Geno.
No offense to Geno. I don't want Jordan Love in that comp. I'm not interested. Geno, you want to talk about resiliency and competing? Geno Smith has been through it, and I respect the heck out of his career. He could have easily just given in and been a backup. He has fought and scrapped, but I am not interested in Jordan Love being a comp with Geno.
Drop passes. The Packers lead the league with 20 drops this season. Drop percentage is the highest in the league at 7.4%, according to ESPN research.
And I would guess a lion's share of those are Wicks.
He's got 8 of them.
That's a lion's share.
And 2 were against the Lions, so I guess that would be appropriate. So interceptions, dropped passes, and penalties are 3 of the 4. I will tell you that your conversation with your guy Danny in Bristol that you wanted to get to on today's show relates to what the 4th item is. We'll do that coming up next. I'd like you to tell everyone about Fortrea and all the great studies they have.
I got a bunch of them, and you know what? This is the new one. We've talked about the breastfeeding,
oh boy,
all this. This is new. Surgically sterile males and females of non-childbearing potential, ages 18 to 55, with a body mass index of 18 to 32. The study is one stay of, this variance. I love a good variance for Tria. It's one of my favorites. 12 to 22 nights. That's a big variance. 10 days of variance.
Wow.
One follow-up. And boy, the pay is different, too. $11,716. I'm assuming that's for the 12th stay. All the way up to $18,786. Not bad for 22 nights of work. Provided for your time and participation. Refer a friend to get another $500 for the qualified referral. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
The 4th item, Rob Domofsky says the Packers need to clean up in order to make a playoff push, and how it relates to Tausch's buddy Danny in Bristol. We're going to talk about it coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch. Jason's off for the rest of the week. He'll be back after the bye on Monday. So we're reviewing Rob Domofsky's article at ESPNWisconsin.com. The 4 things the Packers need to fix in order to make a deep playoff run at the end of this season. As we've talked extensively about on the show thus far, interceptions, dropped passes, both on the list, penalties also on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that this last one relates to your guy, Danny in Bristol, who you said gave you some great content this morning to talk about. So do you want me to tell you what Rob said, or do you want to tell us what Danny said first?
Well, I'm assuming is missed tackles. Would that be what it is, or is it pass rush? Because I think it's going to be either.
Pass rush.
Yeah, and I don't know how many missed tackles. I think the question basically, and you look at how the season has went. Quay obviously missed two games ago. He makes tackles, but reminds me a lot of the Blake Martinez. Oh, he makes a lot of tackles, but any of them impactful. And, you know, Eric Wilson comes in and plays really good football. A couple big plays in the backfield. And the question is, has there been enough pressure on quarterbacks? Consistently, I would say no. Halfley has dialed some stuff up. You obviously had a big game against, I think it was the Titans, that couldn't block anybody, and he had 7 or 8 sacks. And then you had the Houston Texans where they couldn't protect. But when you've played the big boys and you played Minnesota with Darrisaw still there, they struggled. And it's been a struggle when it's just been, here's a 4-down look and let's go. And I do think hopefully Evan Williams gets back, because I think he is that chess piece that Halfley loves and can utilize and really manipulate and do some things to show. And it doesn't seem, and now granted, I give Detroit a lot of credit. I think there's a lot of respect for what they do, and you can't maybe be as exotic as you'd like. That, I think, will have to change, because I don't know if you're just going to line up with our 4, even with Enagbare taking some of Preston, now that Preston is gone, are you going to get home with 4? And I think that's probably the 4th one.
So a couple of things I want to ask you about there. Evan Williams is first, because he got a lot of flowers the other day. When he went down, that seemed to be the turning point in the game a couple of weeks ago against Jacksonville, and he was definitely missed against Detroit on Sunday. Is that a good thing? Like, is it good that Evan Williams has emerged as that significant of a player?
Absolutely.
Or is that more of an indictment of some of the more veteran players who are there already that haven't been able to play at the level? Like, any of the set players in the secondary.
So, just wait a second. You're telling me it's an indictment that you have a rookie that is playing at such a high level that when he's out and he's missed to a degree, that is a bad thing?
Yeah, should you be that dependent on a brand new player in
when he showed
season?
And earned the reps? Absolutely. It's awesome to have a young player that is playing at a star level. Yes. How is that a bad thing?
Because what I'm wondering is, why isn't the guy who was drafted in the first round at that level, in Javon Bowler, why isn't...
In the what round?
Wasn't he a first round? Was he a second round pick? Whatever he was.
Second or third.
Yeah, whatever. He's a much higher pick than Evan Williams was.
Okay.
Why isn't he playing at that level if he's this highly touted guy coming from the Georgia defense? Why isn't there a veteran who's in that secondary that's
evolved
and emerged?
Xavier McKinney's
been pretty good. Well, obviously he is. I'm thinking more of the, like, why isn't Jair getting more flowers?
Because he didn't play.
Valentine and Ballantyne, obviously. Like,
they're seventh and they're late picks. Once you get to the NFL, yes, the expectations change when you're a first or second round pick. I get that. But how on earth can it be a negative that Evan Williams is a stud? How is that? How can we possibly view that in any way but awesome for the Packers and for Evan Williams?
I think in any organization, if you're dependent on a, like, I don't know what the equivalent of a seventh round.
So you don't want to have LeBron because when he's unavailable.
No,
that's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
You're saying, I don't want to have somebody that is so great that he elevates us. When he's out, we drop. What the hell are you talking about? Boy, you know what? It sucks. The Bulls had Jordan. And, man, it just stunk. Because then Jordan was really good, but then when he couldn't play, we had John Paxson.
All right.
Oh, it's a shame. We can't, and nobody can elevate to Jordan's game.
Go ahead, Hunter.
In Jesse's defense here, I'm going to try and interpret.
What, you don't want to work tomorrow?
Hunter.
You want to make sure Jesse's all dialed up?
No, I'm working like a 12-hour day tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Let me cook up my analogy while Hunter covers me here.
So I think what Jesse's trying to say, and just saying it poorly, is the idea of if your defense is relying on a young player like that, we know that young players at some point make young player mistakes. So is that at all concerning that they could be then relying on somebody that you're expecting to make bad mistakes?
But he's not going to be playing if there's a ton of mistakes. We saw that with Cooper already. That's part of the reason he didn't get the rep count. And that's why he didn't get started, because he's a great talent. No, for us to look at this, and Jesse is making this out like it's a negative, that is what you made it out to sound. Tell me I'm crazy.
I was asking you if there's any concern that Evan Williams is this... Like, Evan Williams is somebody who was mentioned as going into preseason, going into training camp.
It was a three-man race.
Even throughout the preseason, he was like, he could be a nice player sometime.
Three-man race for that spot.
Yep. No one thought that Evan Williams was going to be an impact player who would be missed significantly by this defense if he's out
and
for the Lions game.
And it is a testament to him that he learned the system and could play as fast as he's been, that he's been this impactful, that he is a big loss. And to think anything outside of that, to me, doesn't make a ton of sense. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Fair. It's a testament to the job that Evan Williams has done,
yes,
that he's become that significant a player. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is, when you're on the Johnson & Sons paving group, and you're the newcomer who's joining the team for the first time, and you're putting in a brand new parking lot, and that team suddenly becomes totally dependent on...
We did Johnson & Sons already, right? I'm just making
sure. Yes, they're totally dependent. This is just my analogy that I stalled, thanks to Hunter, for 2 minutes to come up with that might help frame this better. If the Johnson & Sons crew that's already out there, and they're a bunch of veterans, they've been doing this a long time, a lot of them have been on the same team working together. You come in and you're driving the rig all around and you're getting the whole thing all set up. I don't know what all the things were that you were doing, but suddenly that team becomes dependent on you to get the job done. And then you have to leave because it's your lunch break or whatever, and the rest of the team is trying to figure it out and they're like lost because they can't stop the pavement from getting out of control because you're not there. That seems like it's a problem for that crew. Obviously, the Johnson & Sons would never have that problem because they were much more efficient and better, I think, when you probably weren't on the job site with you. Point being...
Thank God there's a point coming.
If they're dependent on someone brand new being that influential, is that a significant problem to have that Evan Williams led the defense to giving up what it did on Sunday against the Lions, and that in the second half against the Jaguars, it seemed like Trevor Lawrence and the Jags were able to figure out the Packers' defense and had a blueprint to success because Evan Williams wasn't on the field. That's all I'm asking. You're saying no, and I believe you. You played in the league. I didn't. I'm just asking you if that's something
that's... I also hiked Machu Picchu. No, the answer is no. And your analogy, how does Billy Madison, when they're doing that deal, and the guy gives that long answer, and he goes, I just know there are no points awarded, and I just got this much dumber from hearing that. That, honestly, as I'm hearing him say, well, isn't this, this, and this? So you have a young player that has exceeded all expectations, has become a stud that you're moving around, and he is just making plays, and he's added this whole other... That is a great problem to have. And yes, does it suck that he's injured and he's not been able to? Yes. But I don't know how that could be anything. You can't just replace great players. Now, I'm not trying to crown him yet, but man, he's been impactful, and that is a great thing. I can't find negatives with that. And I would think it would be more apropos to use my ice cream cake with ice cream analogy than it would be to go, Lord knows, whatever the hell you were just doing there. I still don't fully comprehend what point you were making in the fact that him being a really good player sucks for the Packers. I can't get my head wrapped around that.
I'm not saying that Evan, and now I know exactly what's going to happen with this too. Jason's going to come back on Monday, and we're going to be talking about the game next week, and we're going to do our green and gold game preview next Friday ahead of Packers-Bears, and you're going to say, Jesse says that Evan Williams, the Packers stink because Evan Williams is out on the field and he's doing good. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say.
I understand.
But I don't think you want your, whether it's the offensive unit, the defensive unit, anybody, whether it's an accounting firm somewhere in the Milwaukee area, you don't want to be dependent on a brand new player being so impactful that the rest
of... You mean like Xavier McKinney? He's a brand new player. Been pretty dependent on him, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
Xavier McKinney was not
Josh Jacobs.
Xavier McKinney
he's been a new player, and we're pretty dependent on him.
Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs were not fourth-round picks who are rookies in their first NFL season.
What did I just tell you? It doesn't matter. Once the ball's dropped, it doesn't matter. It's about what you do on the field. And the fact that we went from having a safety group that was would have been on Rob's list last year to now being like, wow, we got something. And it's one of our strengths. And yes, he pulled a hammy, and we're missing him. It's an unfortunate deal, but you still have young players. It's just you can't do the same thing. And yes, there has been a drop-off. And I do account that Evan Williams is that important. And I am not remotely thinking that's a bad thing.
Hunter, this text was very unnecessary on the video stream.
I disagree.
Terrible analogy from the 262. Thanks.
Well, I don't know what you were trying to, like, I love when you're rambling, and trust me, I ramble, but you go, you're 5 minutes in, and then you have to say, my point is, and when you get to that point, and then Hunter is sitting there, like, backing you up, like, yeah,
no, I'm not.
Go get him, Jesse.
Hold up,
don't
hold
distance
up.
Yourself from me, Hunter, no, you're on my team.
I don't agree with Jesse's take at all.
Is that the Johnson & Sons rig backing up?
I could see Tausch's face and how confused he looked, and I'm like, I need to at least try and help maybe explain what Jesse's trying to go with to see if maybe I can interpret this, and I couldn't do it.
It was tough.
First
was
actual bad. Take I've had all day, and here's where we go. But now
this
I understand why Jason
this. Only
this
Veterans Day. Fleet Farm would like to show their appreciation for all of those that have bravely served our country November 7th through November 11th. All veterans and active military members, 10% off their in-store purchases. Again, 11/7 through 11/11. Visit your local Fleet Farm store. Save 10% now through Veterans Day. Milwaukee deal days are going on right now at Fleet Farm. Find awesome deals. Power tool combos, kits, batteries, accessories, and more from a power tool brand you can count on. I'll need that when I'm building Jesse's fence. These deals won't last long, so stop into Fleet Farm today to save during Milwaukee deal days. Again, 11/7 through 11/11. Veterans, 10% off any in-store purchases.
I think they have some solid hiking equipment, too, if you're in the market for that at any point. Building the fence, going for a hike. If you have no idea what we're talking
trying
about,
to think, like,
you can
what
go back
hill,
and catch the start
trying to
of
think
the
what hill you guys are living on that I have that Becca's worried about my hiking capabilities to build a fence, but that's a whole other deal.
Let's play trivia. Now I know. I really, sitting in this chair doing this with you for 3 hours, even just one day, really makes me feel a new understanding and appreciation for Jason's role in this show.
You, the retired Navy fella, there's a bunch of people that feel that. I think I'm an absolute delight.
844-770-3776. Let's play trivia. Caller number 12. Because here's why. Today's trivia is college football trivia.
Oh.
It's a very bland, generic trivia category. I will give you that. College football trivia, because we are going to have a little bit of a college football conversation coming up to start the 11 o'clock hour. So this will transition nicely. College football trivia, since we have a new 12-team playoff format, caller number 12. 844-770. What are you laughing at?
I'm letting you get through your reach, Stan, on the clock.
844-770-3776. You're clearly something is bothering you.
No, it's not bothering me. It's just, let's get to it.
844-770-3776. Caller 12 to play college football trivia. That is coming up next. And whatever Tausch is all giggly about, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
This is very confusing because Hunter produces ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day before and after every Badgers game.
Okay.
And this is oftentimes the music that's used coming back and forth. And I've hosted that show, and now I feel like I'm hosting the Badger postgame show. But this is just Wildy and Tausch.
Yeah, it's weird.
Jesse and Tausch today with Jason on assignment, and I know many of you are upset about that at this juncture of the show.
Is that what YouTube's telling you?
That's what everyone's telling
me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's...
You think Jason's in there, like, just stirring it up to make sure everybody knows?
Bunch of burner accounts.
Yeah,
he's just
noticeably a lot of activity in the YouTube comments.
Well, it's really popular today with Wildy not being
the old dwellers. 844-770-3776. Let's go ahead and play some college football trivia on Wildy and Tausch. And let's welcome in today's trivia contestant. It is Justin in Cudahy. Justin, what do you think of Evan Williams' impact on the Packers' defense?
I think he's doing great so far this year.
I do too, Justin, and that's all we have to say about that. College football trivia is the category today. Tausch, you have question number one.
All right, Justin, which of these college football teams is still undefeated this season? Is it Army, Navy, or Space Force?
Let's go Army or Navy. Let's go Navy.
Should have went Space Force. That would have been funnier. I'll tell you what, Space Force, they get a home game, they're going to be tough to beat.
That's tough. Very.
You get those cats up, and that's it. Yeah. One of
they
my all-time favorites.
On the moon.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, when he got to Green Bay, his first meeting, he said, you know, we're going to, you got to chase success, all this stuff. And he said, we're gonna go win world championships. And all of us are kind of looking like, we got to go to freaking Mars and go try to win a chip. It's not about just winning here on Earth. You got to go get one up there.
Army is still undefeated.
Which place would be the toughest road? Would it be Neptune, like, with the gaseousness, and which planet would be the hardest?
Space Force probably has to pick one spot to be their home games. Like, they can't just pick all the
you
planets.
You play neutral sites.
Well, the Super Bowl would be in a neutral site.
You play the Saturn
I would
Classic.
I would guess Mars. And that's a bowl game, Saturn or Jupiter. I would guess Mars would be their home base, and then I don't know if you could play in Mercury or Venus just because of the heat. That would be
Mercury,
like having to go to Miami or...
Yeah.
Justin, great. Thanks for bringing that up.
I don't think he did. Question two, Justin.
I don't know how we got there, but Justin, I appreciate you bringing it there.
Let's see if we can get on the board with this one. Number one, Oregon is the best-ranked undefeated team in this week's first college football playoff top 25 ranking. Which team is the second-best-ranked undefeated team in the country? Is it Miami, Indiana, or Georgia?
I will go Georgia.
Now, see, this is tricky. This is tricky, Justin. You know, I feel worse that you got the Space Force one wrong. Because Georgia is ranked ahead of Miami, but Georgia has lost a game this year. So Miami is the correct answer. Miami is the second best ranked unbeaten team in the country.
Okay.
All right.
That's what, at least that's what the polls say. That
yeah, that's
mean
what
it's
the polls
right.
say. Yeah, it's early. All right, Tausch, you have question number three.
Right,
let's get Justin
one.
A dub here.
As of this week's first college football playoff ranking, which of these teams would be in the college football playoff if the season ended today? Is it SMU, LSU, BYU?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not easy.
I haven't seen a lot of this. No, it's not. I'll go BYU, though.
Look at you. Look at you.
Salvaging a victory, avoiding the sweep. Nicely done, Justin and Cudahy. You got one of the three questions right, which means you get two of the possible four entries into the drawing tomorrow for an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack. Good luck cheering on the Space Force this weekend.
So, Justin, if you had to go to another planet, which would you pick? Oh. I guess since you started the conversation.
Oh, boy. I'll just go with Mars there.
Okay.
Mars seems like the safe play.
It's a good
there.
Movie, yeah. The Martian.
Yeah.
Good flick.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's a good movie.
I agree.
Yeah,
it was a good movie. All right. We're all in agreement. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate your contributions
right,
to today's show. Justin in Cudahy.
I don't know if Justin knew what he was getting himself into.
I don't know if he did. What planet would you go to?
Neptune.
You almost did it.
I pulled back. I'm not going to pull back with Tito's, though. Pour me in. Coach him a seat in the stands to the best seat in the house. Pour me a Tito. Stack a spicy bloody for your warm-up. Salt the rim of a Tito Rita during halftime. Or take home the win in whatever you want with a Tito's. You're calling a game. You change up your roster. You wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan. At Tito'sVodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
If all the planets were a conference, which one do you think would be the first to bolt for realignment opportunities for another conference?
ACC.
They're no, struggling. It'd be
no,
Pluto.
Which planet?
Oh.
Like Pluto would be like the Nebraska or the
Pluto's
Colorado.
Pluto's not even a planet.
Yeah, so they've already moved.
Yeah, but
they're like Nebraska.
No,
they've already left.
No, they're FCS now. They got demoted. They're not even in the game.
Pluto's the North Dakota State.
Yeah, they're not even part of it. So I probably think Mercury, right out of the gates.
Yeah?
I think Mercury probably is looking like, well, it's too hot here.
They're going to leave the Milky
different.
Way and they're going to go for a...
I don't know all about the galaxies and everything else, but I know it's very close to the sun, so that
I was thinking
be
they'd be going to the SEC. They're right there by the center of the universe, and that's what the SEC thinks of themselves, so...
They haven't been wrong.
If you're thinking, wow, this is dumb, I'm right there with you. But we're going to actually talk about some college football
conversation. That's really rich coming from you with that Evan Williams debacle that you just put out there.
Tausch has a question about this college football season that I'd like to dive into. Plus, we're going to hear from Barry Alvarez earlier this week on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Talk a little bit about what happened with the Badgers at Iowa and look ahead to what's still to come through the rest of the season with the Badgers radio analyst, Mark Tauscher, here. Don't go anywhere. College football conversation coming up in 2 minutes on Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.